From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another Sunday's with Stacker News Live. My name is Carmen with the Kimmy, Keon, and Gianna.
That's not me.
Oh, Plepo. Docs.
Wow. Starting off with the docs.
Strong
doxing.
Right there.
Strong docs.
How was your week, Keon?
Rapper name? My week was great. Oh, it was like I was around and over and into and every I did so many things.
Strong docs, though. That is a pretty cool name.
Strong docs.
Like say more about that guy.
He's maybe like a music producer.
Yeah.
Who's just hit the radio waves.
The radio?
Yeah, like the internet radio waves.
Bro. What are you, like they're still 70 not, years old?
They're not. You know, this is like, no, he's hip, so he doesn't
are you talking about like a
bass.
Rapper or something?
You know, he runs a radio station out of his mom's house.
Sure.
But he's good. And so people are picking up on it. They're like, man, this guy's grinding. And he's got that strong docs energy.
I know. That's cool. I want to meet him for sure. Sounds great.
I don't know if you'd like him, but.
Why?
I don't know. He's kind of angry.
That's okay.
All right. If you like angry people.
I used to.
How was your week, Carr?
It was good. Well, let's go with Jenna first. Jenna, keep talking. How was your week?
And I'll say a little bit about my week, even though I'm not Jenna right now.
All
right,
I'm sorry.
Spooky.
Double docs.
Strikes again.
Guess what I got to do this week? I'll tell you. I got to repaint an exterior sign.
Can you say that in English?
Wow. What's the difference between an exterior sign and an interior sign?
It stays outside all the time.
Okay, so it has different.
You got to consider, you got to consider how it's going to weather. Well, that's why I had to repaint it because it was weathered.
I see. Someone did not consider the extra requirements.
You know, it was about 4 years old, and everything just has its time. So it was time to give it. It was an illustration. It was letters. It was plants.
Wow. So it was kind of like a coloring book. But
it was like exactly like a coloring book. I thought that while I was doing it, and it was really fun. And it was pretty big. It was probably like 4 feet tall by like 7 feet, 8 feet wide.
Oh, that's a lot of paint.
It was a lot of paint. It took me 3 days, and it was a good time. You can, if you go to the place where I work part-time, you can see it.
Okay, what if we don't want to go there? How do we see it?
I have a picture of it.
Okay. I'd like to see a picture of it.
If you're my friend, maybe I'll show you the picture.
Okay, maybe we can get one of your friends to look at it and tell me what it's like.
There you go.
Sounds fun.
I didn't paint any signs this week. Carr, did you paint any signs?
No, but it's weird because like I'm on here now. It's not showing me my usual Stacker News thing. I guess it's live, but I don't know. Yeah, it's live, but it just didn't, like, for whatever reason, your Stacker News... You have a blue check mark or no?
I think so, the Stacker News account.
Okay, because for whatever reason, it's not... If you go to the profile page on Stacker News, it's not showing on the profile page. Anyways.
Well, Elon Musk has always had it out for me.
I know.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a hater.
He knows about you and everything.
Yeah.
No, my week was great up until, like, 30 minutes, hour ago. You know, one of the things that bothers me the most is where Carr rants today. Sending 430 emails, right? It's like, here's a nuclear bomb. Let me send you a 430 email.
Yeah.
You prefer it in the morning?
Prefer it in the morning. Preferably have a Monday, you know. It would be great.
That's fair.
Not like a Friday at 4:30 or at 3:30 right before you're going to do a live show, you know.
That is a bad time to get a bad email. Yeah. I can agree.
So I had to take care of that right before the show. And then... that's why we're late 30 minutes, Snackers. But other than that, it's going pretty good.
You got a haircut.
What did I do this week? What did I do this week?
I'm trying to think. You got some plans? You got a date?
Trying to think what I did this week.
Oh, maybe, because...
Trying to think.
He's not going to listen, but probably.
give it a girl's name this time, eh?
Oh.
Yeah, it's good. Great. Good week. I got my bots coding for me. Saving some money on some SaaS.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, there's an open claw hackathon going on upstairs at Antler. I think Nick's going to go.
Should we crash it?
Yeah, you should totally crash it.
I could just show up and be like, I'll write an article about it.
That might work.
And then just write a hate piece on open claw.
Like, I'm with the press.
Wait, have you not made your own open claw? Have you not done that
what
yet?
Do you think?
A yes, because your husband is talking
about
it.
Am I my husband?
Oh, wow. We got this Janet today. Triple doxed. It's okay. It's good for the show. Let me go ahead and get started. If you've never seen this crazy show before, it's called Stacker News Live. We cover the top three stories on Stacker.news every week here on Fridays at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, Texas time in Austin, Texas. Yeah, so check it out. Last week, the most popular... we should mention we had John Carvalho on last week if you missed the episode. Wumbo clipped it. Check it out. It was a really good conversation there. And then last week, the most popular video was the creator of OpenClaw. Turns out everybody wants to hear about him. We'll talk more about him later in the show, but the guy's all over the place, Keon.
That's what you guys keep saying. He's on every podcast. You guys, did you listen to on this podcast?
I mean,
I learned what flavor ice cream he likes.
He's kind of a popular dev right now.
I guess. I think he is. I think, yeah. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, we're going to jump into the number three top story. I effed around and found out about OpenClaw, so you don't have to. 5,439 sats, 220K boost. No, 220 sat boost, 41 comments from Billy the Kid, February 10th, AI territory. That's a mouthful. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, so it looks like Billy the Cat, they set up their OpenClaw, and they reported back on how they're using it and how they view it. Bit of context, they're not very technical, but they got sort of technical. They got like IT-level technical when they got into Bitcoin, because you know all that stuff is really useful when you're trying to do Bitcoin things, just to know how computers work and stuff. It's kind of table stakes. So they felt like they could handle setting up OpenClaw, and so they did. I guess they named their ClawBot, or their multi, they named it Luis, or I don't know if you'd say it, is that like, I don't know if that's the right way to say, when did you say Lewis, and when do you say Luis?
I think it's when it's spelled L-O-U-I-S, I think, Lewis, and then Luis is like Spanish.
Okay, so what? If I'm south of the border.
But you can say both. I think they'll answer to both, you know.
What about Louis? You wouldn't say Louis?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that. But what about Louise then? So it's like Louise, Louis, Louis,
yeah.
Louis. Yeah. I'm confused too. Actually, we need somebody smart to figure this
out. This post isn't about names, so that's good. Because we would do a bad job. So I guess... the main thing they ended up using them for are these kind of everyday tasks they're doing. So putting things in their calendar, I guess they would, you know, chat with a chatbot and be like, put this in my calendar. Another interesting thing they did was they would take pictures of receipts and have the bot put it into a spreadsheet for them. So it was kind of like doing automatic bookkeeping, which is kind of neat. Mm-hmm. And then they said they had... Some of the periodic things they did was they'd have it do deep research on things that they were curious about and send them updates. And then weather reminders of various kinds. And they end it with some things that you should consider when running it. I guess that they felt like they learned. You want to run it on its own machine, not on like your personal computer. And you don't want to give it pseudo access, depending on how you plan on using that machine. But it's always a good thing to not give software that you don't trust, prevent it from having pseudo. Don't let it near your Bitcoin, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
And you should know that you're going to need a be using a cloud LLM most likely, unless you've spent a lot on running local models yourself or willing to do all that. Those people might not even be using something like OpenClaw. And then he warned people away from using ClawHub, which is where all of these third-party skills are hosted, and many of them have been found to have malware in them. And you should probably not. And they suspect that you should that most people will be writing their own skills anyway.
Are you guys going, Ted? Check it out. Okay, they're gonna go check out the OpenClaw thing.
A lot of people in the lab are going to an OpenClaw event. It's a real phenomenon.
Yeah, dude, it's I think it's a game changer.
Yeah,
I keep saying that.
Yeah, he's. I think that's the 1,000th time.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't install it like on DigitalOcean. So I installed another one on DigitalOcean this week just to play around with that kind of onboarding process. I think I like it better because then from there I can just connect it to its own workspace Slack. That's kind of the thing I've been doing. Just kind of sandbox it. Because I feel like from there, then I can just get it to do GitHub stuff. And all it needs is my GitHub, or you can just spin up another GitHub for it if you want.
Why couldn't you do that locally here?
I tried. I mean, right now I'm doing the prayers app in here. But I think I like the DigitalOcean one better, personally.
Is it a networking issue? Because that would be the only real...
No, I think I just like that kind of sandbox-ish feel.
Oh, you like it kind of far away? You feel vulnerable with it?
Yeah, I don't want to plug it into, like, you know what I mean? So, yeah. That's kind of my least thinking around it, but I don't know. What do you got, Plepo?
I think that anything that Carr likes, this is the pattern that I've noticed. If Carr likes it, it's a game changer.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, a game changer for everyone.
What do you think about that right there?
What game?
I don't know what I think about that. It makes me feel like... threatened
as where, just as a machine?
Well, look, it's like menacing looking,
kind of Terminator, yeah, kind
of like Terminator, yeah,
trying to be cool,
yeah.
It's confusing.
It kind of looks like the,
which is pretty awesome.
I just want to, I'm sorry to keep saying this, but it needs to be said once again.
Say
I think
it.
The memes this week, and this one including ass,
they are. One word description, ass?
Their ass. That's right. And that's what I'm saying today.
Wow.
I believe it.
Really bringing the energy up there. let's see what Optimism says, because he's optimistic. And he says, say it uploads your encrypted file with your secrets to archive of alien... I can't read that. And then in 10 years, when all the QC boys get it their way... They'll decrypt a lot and will correlate. It has access to your calendar. Cool. Now it probably knows who you are. Also can verify that against your business receipts. So in 10 years, above mentioned site turns into a search engine, and then the public doesn't need Epstein psyops because we can just read all of daddy and mommy's secrets online. Your kids' future employers be like, sorry, you disqualified for this job because your daddy had picks of booty in a crypto file. So you have, yeah. I don't know. What did that mean, Keon?
Yeah, he's basically just saying that if you're... Encryption doesn't protect you from the future, I guess. If we imagine that a lot of encryption will be broken in the future, storing, you know, the fact that you have something encrypted, if it's stored somewhere or someone has a copy of it, that means in the future they might be able to decrypt it. And so it's not future-proof, potentially.
Yeah, I don't know about that, because there's a lot of stuff that I made in the 2010s and 2000s that's not online anymore.
Yeah, someone might delete it, but times have changed. He's making sort of a trolley joke point, but I think it's a real point. That
yeah, I get what he's saying. He's saying more like in the future, everything will be, you put yourself at potentially being doxxed in the future. He's basically saying there is no time with this kind of stuff. Timelines don't exist. They're all. It's like Matthew McConaughey at the end of Interstellar, where it's just like a library.
Be a lot cooler if you did.
Yeah, that's literally what it is. He's saying, right?
No,
all
that's
your
a different
encrypted
movie,
files
but...
there. No. Not the same thing.
I think it's just mostly saying that you should take more precautions than you think, which is always a good reminder for people, like the fact that you've encrypted these files on your computer, co-located with OpenClaw, you feel safe because maybe OpenClaw will throw them on the cloud somewhere.
How was it?
That shouldn't be enough.
There is.
They're very excited.
Nice, dude. That's crazy.
Giddy energy.
How many people are there?
Maybe like 50.
Oh, that's not a lot of people. I was expecting like 100 something people.
It could be more, but there's people coming.
Maybe they're coming. All the clawers are coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that's cool. Sorry, Keon. He looked excited. Cool stuff. Keon, what's your thoughts on this? Do you think, are you going to install it? Do you have an OpenClaw? What's his name?
I'm going to put it on a computer so that people stop asking me. And then I'm not left out while all my friends have silicon children and keep asking me when I'm going to have my silicon child. And why aren't you having a silicon child, Keon? What's wrong with you? Aren't you going to do what the internet wants for you? Stuff like that.
Bitcoin Pub Dev got mentioned in this article there at the bottom.
Yeah, what did it say?
I think it was at Bitcoin Pub Dev that made a comment about how Bitcoiners ought not to be Luddites. Austin, do you stand behind that? This is what I was telling you about, somebody quoting you. As a Bitcoiner, should I care? You see that?
I think it was making how Bitcoiners ought to not be Luddites. I quite agree. And it is this sentiment that prompted me to get on and give it a try. However, piping AI data centers directly into your home machines should be anathema to the cypherpunk ethos. Anathema. Can these poles be bridged? Listen, I agree. I hope you didn't take my comment as I should run OpenClaw, because I regret showing Carr OpenClaw. It's dangerous. Not only is it not good.
Why do you literally were telling me yesterday, like, I'm glad you're coding now. I'm glad, like, maybe you can.
No, I am. I am. I'm glad. Wow. I'm glad. It makes me happy to see.
Tell me how you really feel.
You know,
when
not only is it bad for your machine and your security and your OPSEC, but I think it's really bad for your brain and your
Social
skills. No, I'm just kidding. I'm being a little bit sarcastic here, but
we're turning the world into autists. Now. It's not just
I don't have an autism bone in me.
Oh, we don't know.
But no, I do stand by this. We need to, I believe I'm playing around with OpenClaw, but for me, I'm playing around with it from the sense of this thing is happening. How is this going to look for Bitcoiners? How is this going to look for us that want to keep our data private, local, that want to be adversarial, right? Understanding, recognizing that things are changing, this paradigm shift is happening, but at the same time, if it's happening, I require that it must happen within my principles, right? So how do we figure that out, right? And I mean, That doesn't have to happen. That's just on us. We just have to. OpenClaw is here, and we need to make OpenClaw suitable for Bitcoiners and useful for Bitcoiners, or else we're going to be left in the dust, or just have to choose between being left in the dust or giving up our data to big tech. We can use these tools and develop our own tools. Yeah, whatever. Being a Luddite isn't the answer. We have to be practical, and if the ground is shifting beneath us, we need to react to it.
So you're saying you want every Bitcoiner using OpenClaw? That's what you're saying.
I'm saying I want every Bitcoiner thinking about OpenClaw and thinking about what this means, and preparing for
for the claw,
the death of the internet.
Yeah, embrace it.
Cool. And right now, I'm working on 2 GitHub projects. I'm probably going to start my 4th next
2?
Week.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn.
Bro's got repos,
dude. I have so many ideas I've been trying to get these guys to do for years. Now, it's unleashed.
Carr, I'm
unleashed.
Do you tell them my challenge?
Here, use the mic. They can't hear you.
Sorry.
What was your challenge?
Jana. My challenge for Carr is, he's telling me about how he's vibe coding every day. I'm like, give me a URL I can visit.
There you go.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah. I got that figured out here very soon. I just learned my bot just learned Next.js, so.
We're getting there. Great. That is domain technology.
Dude, I was telling Austin the other day, I was like.
That's in the right domain.
I told him the other day, I was like, dude, GitHub is freaking awesome. Like, I had no idea how great.
When he said that.
I had no idea how awesome GitHub was.
Why did it trigger you? Because you've learned to hate GitHub? Or
no, me.
Oh, have I learned to hate GitHub by the influencers I listen to?
No.
For me,
I just never understood how it functioned. But now I'm like, it's kind of cool. You can have your own Git locally, and then you can have your Git repo on.
Oh, and to freaking. Git, not GitHub. Okay.
No, GitHub too.
Okay.
Because I run my own local Git and then have it and then post it. Right? Is that how it works?
That's right. That's the flow.
Okay.
Tell them about Git, Jana.
Carl, let me tell you how long I've been doing that.
Wow.
On my own.
Hey, we all got to start somewhere at some time. Right, Ted?
But no, it is cool. No, you're right. It is super cool.
Yeah, I can't wait. I really want to like make something really cool.
Good.
So looking Sweet. Forward to doing it. Anyways, okay, let's go to the next one. We spent a lot of time talking about OpenClaw. We'll be talking about it later in the show too again. There's more stories. Second top story of the week is Boomerang Bitcoin Cold Storage with built-in corrosion resistance.
Corrosion.
10,900
You didn't know Bitcoin could resist corrosion, did you?
K boost. 10 comments from Bituronics, Bitcoin territory. Keon, what's this?
So this is tricky, but it's a design for cold storage that attempts to make store your Bitcoin in a way where the spending paths are unpredictable, and so therefore deters an attacker who might need more predictable conditions in which to coerce you into giving them your Bitcoin. That's the general gist. And then the details of it are pretty complicated, and I would recommend the person who wrote this up or had their bot write it up. They break it into layers that are like well isolated from each other, so that we can consider them independently, because right now it's like everything is kind of jumbled. I have some notes on it. This is where I spent most of my prep, but the protocol is named after the Boomerang Nebula. So when I think of Boomerang, I think of like the tool.
I think of the Eddie Murphy movie, but
yep. What sense. Eddie Murphy movie was that?
It was called Boomerang.
There's a nebula out there that's called Boomerang?
Yeah, I guess it's the coldest nebula or the coldest region of space that we can see.
Oh, wow.
And is it coming back? Is that why it's Boomerang?
No, there's no actual relation. It's probably shaped like a boomerang.
Yeah.
That's probably why it's called a boomerang. Anyway, that's what it's named after. So I think it's alluding to it being for cold storage. They're motivated by them thinking that air gapping and other typical Bitcoin protection measures are best suited to remote attacks. So someone who you don't know isn't in close proximity to you, they can't steal your Bitcoin if you abide by normal best practices for Bitcoin.
I mean,
but they argue that it doesn't. We don't do much yet, or we don't have much around rent attack prevention. Or we could maybe go further in rent attack prevention, other than like multi-sig and time locks and things that we normally do. Did you have something you wanted to say, Carl?
Yeah, to have. I'm trying to, and this is just me being dumb. Like, are they saying Boomerang is a protocol, or are they saying Boomerang is, since it's next generation, voice search big and a protocol?
It's a protocol for I would
not an actual protocol, but a protocol in the real world sense, right?
I think it's both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
they called it a protocol right there.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't understand if they meant like an actual protocol or just a protocol in the real world, because they go into like kind of like a.
I mean, what's
the distinction?
In an abstract sense, a protocol is a standardized procedure.
Right. That's what I thought all this was.
And it is a standardized procedure, but in addition, it has components to it that abide by the standardized procedure. But it's not like it's not a communication protocol. But it uses the Bitcoin protocol and is like a protocol on top of Bitcoin's protocol for storing Bitcoin with unpredictable spending paths. Anyway, what else is here?
This is interesting.
Yeah. So the main thing it adds is that it makes it so that when you attempt to spend on a certain spend path in this taproot script, it is unpredictable when the Bitcoin will actually be unlocked. And then there are also other protection mechanisms in there where I think you can, in a plausibly deniable way, suggest to other participants that you are being forced to sign under duress. And it additionally, it has a, when you signal them for duress, you are also sending them encrypted messages about your location that they can decrypt, and then, you know, a local authority can come maybe help save you or whatever. It's pretty complicated. I think the main insight is that you're storing your Bitcoin in a way that you can't guarantee when you'll be able to spend it. And not only does it inconvenience you, but you might not care about the inconvenience because you plan on never spending it. Importantly, it inconveniences the attacker. And that's kind of, and again, there are all these other layers to it, but I think they're kind of superfluous. You have two spend paths. There's another more traditional spend path. The other spend path, just like a waterfall type unlock as
so who,
as
who
blocks
made this
mined.
Bitronix? Okay.
I think they spun up a NIM just for this protocol.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I think
it's very dense.
Well, so, it's slop, but.
So coercion in this sense means like.
Physical attack.
Like people ganging up on you.
Well, like, yeah, someone comes to the wrench attack. Mm-hmm. Sign these keys so I can get your Bitcoin. Or sign these transactions so I can get your Bitcoin. Yeah.
Interesting. Do we have any comments down here? OT said, sounds complex. Maybe a real-world walkthrough might get me understand it better. And then the OP came in there, or the GitHub guy came in there and explained again. But it looks like it's all from the GitHub, though.
Yeah, it's like more just kind of ChatGPT or at Grok, please summarize this for these idiots.
Yeah, so Anon said if an attacker is willing to wait indefinitely, doesn't Boomerang just delay the inevitable? Then OP said that's a fair concern, and Boomerang isn't trying to defeat an infinitely patient attacker because realistically no custody system can. Where the targets of self corrosion actually happens in the real world. So, interesting.
Yeah, I think they're suggesting that even if you have like a time lock on your Bitcoin with some other path that allows you to get out of it, the attacker would be able to plan for, say you have like something that's like 10 years. The attacker would be able to plan for that they need to wait 10 years to be able to get that Bitcoin. But in their case, they're saying the attacker has no idea. They might, you know, they wouldn't plan for 10 years. They would have to plan for indefinite because there is no, they can't know for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's an interesting idea. I'm not sure how practical it is, but I think it's worth people who are interested in these things thinking about it
it seems like every month now somebody gets kidnapped or gets a finger clawed off or based off of stuff like this. So it makes sense why somebody like this would want to get something like this started. So there's definitely a need for something a little bit more resilient. Cool. Okay. Let's jump into the number one story this week is one miner's proto scam revealed by Proto Block Inc. My 21K lesson. This is from Bitcoin AI Music in the Bitcoin mining territory. 19 comments, 103K boosts. Wow. 1,809 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah. Do you remember the proto rigs?
Proto, why does that sound familiar?
That's from Block. Remember when they did they released their mining hardware?
Last year, didn't we cover that?
Huh?
We covered that, right? Last year?
We did cover it.
Okay, yeah. So yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, so this guy was excited about it. Like, many people were excited about it. And so they wanted to get into Bitcoin mining, but they wanted to do it with proto rigs. And so they found this company called One Miners, and they pre-ordered a bunch of proto rigs for them. One Miners promised to buy the proto rigs for them and host it in Nigeria where there's cheap electricity. And so they expected to be able to make a profit after putting up $22,000. So he paid them and was promised that he'd get a shipment at the end of of November, or in November of last year. And then I guess there was a, you know, he communicated with them and they said there was a delay and that they actually received them in January instead. And so when he messaged them, they said, oh, they're going to be here. They're going to be here real soon. And so, then they sent him, or then he was able to log into his dashboard after they were supposed to arrive. And the dashboard showed that he was mining Bitcoin with proto rigs in Nigeria and making money. So he was, you know, success. He'd spent $22K and this was going to go and eventually he was going to make his money back. But then I guess a few days after he saw that dashboard, he got an email from the company, One Miners, that was actually a software bug. And it was actually a mistake that he saw that dashboard because his miners actually never arrived. And,
oh, wow.
And that dashboard was misreporting what was going on. And really, they don't know when they're ever going to get proto rigs. And so instead, they offered him an alternative path so that he can begin mining, which are these other miners that are, I guess, roughly current generation, I would guess, but not a proto rig. And they said they would host them in the United States rather than Nigeria. And they do it for a fee of $7,000. So in addition to the $22,000 he sent them, they were now asking for $7,000 to correct the problem that was Block's fault, the proto people's fault. Anyway, so at this point he was pretty certain it was a scam. Fortunately, he didn't get pulled deeper into it. So he reached out to Block and asked them about what was going on, and they responded that they did not sell proto rigs to anyone, any third party resellers, and they worked directly with, I would guess, a handful of partners, and that's who they sell them to. You know, more or less confirming that this was a scam. And then Open Miners continued to kind of try to get more money from him and increase the scam and like gaslight him, because he went on he fortunately for everyone who else might have gotten pulled into the scam, he went on a bunch of review sites, contacted local authorities, and is trying to get the company shut down, or at least discourage people from using them. But they claim that they had miners ready to go, or they were hosting other miners for him already in place of the proto rigs, and that all he had to do was pay them a little more money, and then he'd be able to get the profits from those. And so the scam, they just kind of kept pronouncing it themselves not scammers, as scammers tend to. That is the...
Wow, what a story.
Yeah.
Gosh. Scoresby said, rough story. I'm sorry to hear they turned out to be scammers. At this point, I'll have to admit, it seems like any hosted mining setup is just not worth it. At best, profits are eaten away by costs and fees. It's just a scam. And Bitcoin AI said, yeah, expensive lesson for sure. It's weird. I mean, I feel like cloud mining has always been a scam. Way back... 2017 when I first heard about it. Every cycle it feels like there's just a new cloud miner show up and scam commences.
It's a common, Jason B wrote about getting scammed. Someone was advertising that they were giving away used miners. It's like a common scam, I guess. We have a bunch of old miners. If you'd like old miners, we'll send them to you. All you have to do is send us the shipping costs. And you send them the shipping costs, and they never ship it to you. So they're basically just collecting all these shipping costs from people. I think it's because miners are, like, expensive, and there's, like, this upfront cost. And I think that's why it's, like, ripe for scams. And people get paid in Bitcoin. Bitcoiners are willing to pay people in Bitcoin, which is, you know, nice to scam with on a relative basis.
And to be honest, just knowing miners and sort of how this thing works, like, usually, if there's really cheap energy, they're not talking about it. So that's another reason you know it's a scam. I don't know. It's weird, man. I feel bad for this guy, but dang, what a lot of money just to blow and miss. Crazy stuff. Plipoid, you got anything on this? What do you think about that lesson?
It's tough. And you can find it on the zine this week, too. I threw it up there. But bring it over here from Substack, you know?
There you go. Cool. The next we're going to jump into all the stories that we have this week. I didn't get time to do any posts because I was busy right before the show. But the first one I want to bring up is Wumble's Picks. Oh, my gosh. The most popular segment. Well, the second popular segment in this show is Wumble's Picks. Every week we tune in to Wumble and his picks. This week, Discord will require a face scan or ID for full access next month. From Scoresby. Keon, what's this from Wumble's Picks?
So I think Discord has been flirting with this idea for a while, but they've begun trying to, like, kind of like adult content websites, they're trying to determine the age of its users so that they can allow them, I guess, to see all the content. And then if they're below the age, they prevent them from seeing it. So they've been doing this for a while, but I think they're beginning to require it across more of the ecosystem. I'm not super familiar. I don't use Discord much personally, but I think what they're planning on doing is treating everyone like they're a teenager, and then if you want to access anything that they deem restricted or their content bots deem restricted, you will have to age verify by some method. And that's like kind of the big change.
I guess here, I'm trying to figure out, is it like actual verification, like via, like how though, just like the way YouTube verifies you? Or?
They're being super vague and kind of cagey about it, where they're like, well, in some cases, we'll run a local model and it'll just take a video of your face and it won't return. It actually won't return, like, a video of your face.
KYC verification.
And then they're saying, we're also experimenting with...
Is that illegal for minors, though?
We'll just read your content and that's then we'll determine that you're of age and base our determination on that. Or you can send us your ID or... And so they...
I feel like this is illegal in Texas.
This is illegal? I feel like Texas is probably pushing them to do this.
No, I feel like you can't take pictures of a minor via like an app. Like, that's a legal thing.
Well, I think that's why they're claiming that it's local and they're not actually sending the pictures anywhere.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Anyway, so everyone's kind of like, well, this is terrible, because people, you know, a lot of people have communities or other things on Discord, and they, you know, they do discuss things that are maybe on the border.
Take a video selfie or scan your ID.
Yeah.
And this is required from now on?
It's required accessing certain kinds of content.
Oh, okay. So it's not across every Discord.
No, but it, you know, you're at any point your Discord might be deemed, you know, teenager inappropriate, in which case all of the people in your Discord would have to go through this process.
So Wumble's question this week was, do you think Scoresby prediction is correct? This will be the case for every major website that allows user upload content. I go to Blood Poet first. What do you think?
Okay. I was trying to scan a photo of the snake that I drew, so I missed that. So let's go to Keon.
I think this is certain. I don't, you know, if the government keeps behaving like the government, I suspect they eventually will want things like this to happen, where they just they can be, you know, everyone's parent on the internet and protect them. And I would guess they'd love that. Whether that'll be true of the entire internet, whether they'll be able to enforce that, whether people will comply, whether the internet is vulnerable to the government's wishes like that, remains to be seen. I would guess if that does happen, if we begin gating everything with age verification and ID and stuff, I would guess a parallel sort of internet would emerge that is resistant to, or an overlay on the internet or whatever, that is resistant to that kind of requirement. That would be, so I would guess.
Yeah.
It only goes so far, I think.
I think you're right. I think it only, just based off of like what I've seen in my lifetime, it feels like it would get to a certain boiling point, and then they would release the valve a little bit. And most of these companies, I mean, a lot of this is just data. They're just trying to harvest, right? Like, unfortunately.
Who's trying to harvest data?
Like, in this situation, they're trying to follow... I mean, this is where my mind goes. They're trying to follow these kids who are using Discord from an earlier age, pre when they turned the legal age, which is kind of illegal. So it, to me, it feels like they're trying to make a metadata path for the future. But that's just me and how I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I don't view it so cynically. I think I would guess it's more like the government is like, hey, people are doing things that we don't like them doing, especially young kids are doing things that we don't like them doing. And these Discord groups, their parents are really upset. They're our constituents. They're going to vote us out of office unless we start pressuring you to prevent them from seeing this stuff. So what we want you to do is we want you to verify that they're old enough to see it. That's it's perhaps naive, but that is, I think a pretty simple explanation of what's happening.
Sometimes you just don't do anything. And this is a situation where you don't do that because they're kids. You shouldn't take pictures of them and then start following a trail for them in the future that you can connect with. That's just invasion of privacy on all accords. Anyways.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like this. Do you have anything?
I mean, I am sad because this does affect my life.
Are you a big Discord?
I'm not big at all. I just have one chat with two of my friends.
So you're going to age verify?
No, I guess we'll have to move somewhere else. We've already moved, like, we've migrated across apps already because they get so annoying.
You could use Noster.
For video calls?
Yeah, you're right. You can't use Noster.
Have you tried Signal? Is it not...
Oh, I could get my friends on Signal, maybe.
Yeah, what I started doing when I initiating chats with people.
Okay.
They have most of what you'd probably want.
Yeah.
Pretty sad they're doing this. I wonder if it's because of the whole stuff that happened last year with that guy doing stuff on Discord. Remember?
Yeah, I would guess Discord. Discord became on the radar of a lot of these people.
Well, it was nice knowing you, Discord. We know how that plays out. You've seen it too many times. Well, that was Wumble's Picks. Tune in next week for more of Wumble's Picks. We're going to jump into Keon's post this week. The first one that he had was The Gold Standard by Saifedean Ammanous. My three takeaways. This is from Blockchain Boot. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, so I didn't realize this, but this new book by Saifedean is supposed to be an alternative history. It's supposed to be a work of fiction. I thought it was a work of nonfiction.
It seems like it's kind of not.
Yeah, but and then so based on Blockchain Boog's review, it couldn't decide what it was either. And is kind of is mostly like nonfiction that is extrapolated to an absurd degree, and there's not much story. So it's kind of singing the praises of a hard money standard. By taking them to a relatively extreme conclusion.
He's just having fun, you know? Like, he's already, like, written the book that, like, made his life, so he's just having fun now.
Yeah, he's just like, well...
Taking the idea as far as it'll go.
He's like, well, okay, what's the craziest thing that'll happen on a complete gold standard that I can think of? And he just kind of writes it out, and it's like a collection of those, and rather than, like, a story that would really, I think, put it deep in like... the culture or a person's mind when they read it, which is the type of propaganda that I think is really effective. So Blockchain Boo goes through and he pulls out notes that he took along the way and kind of shares some of the excerpts. And a lot of it, I guess there's the Bitcoin network is kind of modeled. It's like the gold standard, but it has Bitcoin-like properties. And I guess there's like lots of Bitcoin like jargon in it.
So is it like Man in the High Castle
cliches
kind of thing, or
and
is
stuff.
It more? I guess that's where I'm lost. Is it more like Man in the High Castle, where it's just like alternative reality?
It's like Man in the High Castle, but without much of a story. There's not really characters that you come to love and stuff. There's no, you don't really have much of a relationship with like the fictional environment. You're just it's kind of like essays about
how everything would be better.
how it might work, and one, you know, hypothetically. That's how I read his review, at least.
This was a fun way to write a review, I think. So I liked that, including all of his notes here and stuff.
Oh, yeah, with the page? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is kind of neat.
It's pretty thorough. I mean, I feel like I got a good understanding of the book from what he was telling me about it.
Same.
Yeah, this is a really good way to review a book.
Carr, you should do that with the Bible.
Oh. That could probably work. I feel like the Catechism already does that in a different way.
Mm.
Anyways, yeah, I don't really have any thoughts on this. I mean, what'd you find interesting about it, Keon, other than just
the other than the things I said already?
Yeah. Anything else? Like,
I guess a lot. One of the ways he modeled how transactions spread around on the gold standard are by a plane. So like everyone has a plane.
Oh. And
they can fly anywhere in the world in like 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
And then they
maybe this will get turned into a movie. You never know.
You know, like transaction fees or like you're paying for the flight of the actual gold to someone.
You just carry your bar with you and you just like that with your knife.
And then also safe seems
that's
to
your tip.
It seems to be at least if this is like a sort of fantasy fiction where he actually wants this to happen, he seems unconcerned with like privacy issues, because he says how people access their gold, which they're storing in a vault or their house or whatever, is by face scans. So they don't actually have to carry the gold around them, because that would be burdensome. But instead, what they can do is they can verify who they are by people scanning their faces, which is, I think, not cool. But
mm-hmm.
Well, maybe Safe will come and do an AMA. We'll see.
Hmm.
I think he might have already done one in the past, but
maybe he'll come do another one.
I think he did. I was there for that.
The next one is you have Pleb Economist. Copernicus would have been a Bitcoiner. This is from Simple Stacker. Keon. What's this?
Yeah, so Copernicus is the sun is at the center of the solar system guy.
That is a good meme right there. I like that one.
Yeah. And so he's better known as a physicist, but I guess he was also enough of an economist that the King of Poland in 1526 commissioned him to write about the theory of money. I guess in that time, Prussia was dealing with multiple coins circulating at the same time, and they had a lot of inflation, and it was just kind of monetary chaos. And so I guess the King of Prussia wanted to figure it out. And in Latin, Copernicus wrote on the minting of coin, which is what this is called. And I guess Simple Stacker was able to translate it using one of these bots, and get it in English. And they discover that he's kind of into Bitcoin, or would have been into Bitcoin. What are some of the things in here? So I got he's aware of something like Gresham's Law, where bad money drives out the good money, where people will spend. They observe that. It's like an empirical observation, where he observes that when they start circulating a weaker money, everyone hoards the kind of good money and spends the weaker one. So he had that before even Gresham, I guess. He observed some Cantillon like dynamics among blacksmiths, or at least like blacksmiths had a certain privilege as a blacksmith, where they were able to melt down the coinage that was still good and had higher like precious metal content, and then get more money, more than the actual money itself was worth, because the precious metal had a higher price at that point. Makes other arguments in there about the harms of monetary abasement and generally and how it's like a runaway process sort of when it starts, because like the government's incentive to do it doesn't go away. And then even points to how some people, like there were early, he calls it medieval monetary theory, which is like modern monetary theory, where people argue that you can just print money and it makes everything better. I guess that sentiment still existed back then. And yeah, that I thought it was pretty awesome. And that is, most of what I would say.
I definitely think, and this is just more like, and I'm not sure because I didn't read this post, but I wonder, because I see this all the time. Like, do you think most people in general think people in the past weren't as smart as they are now?
That might be generally accepted. Perhaps.
Wait, the people were as smart as we are in the past?
Not,
yeah.
Or not as smart. Oh, I don't... Who would think that, though?
I would think a general population might safely assume that.
Yeah, I think so,
unsafely
too.
Unsafely assume that, right?
Yeah, unsafely.
Or they might feel safe while assuming that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because here at the end he says, in the end, Copernicus was still a status when it comes to money, recommending that the government monopolize the issuance of money and to ban all other competing forms. We shouldn't be too hard on him, as he could not have foreseen the emergence of a fully decentralized monetary system.
Yeah, and he might have been part of a government that was cool and worked.
Well, also, I guess earlier he said that they were paying him, right? So,
fair.
Didn't he end up getting killed?
He was on house arrest guy for a while?
I thought so. I thought he was in prison and died in prison of a foot infection. But maybe that's Bob Marley. I don't know.
All right, I
don't know about that either.
Bob Marley.
All right, didn't die of foot infection.
But there's other he links other posts that are about Copernicus. I wonder what those are at the very bottom.
Oh, where, this one here?
Yeah, Copernicus. Bitcoin Mag talked about Copernicus.
Where's the other one at? Oh. Took me down.
It all went away.
Yeah. Let's see that one.
Okay, that's interesting. That might be something to check out.
Another one. And
I see when you go back, we're collapsing. That's a bug.
Yeah.
And then the next one is this one.
Undisciplined talked about him, too.
Oh, there you go. Undisciplined.
Or Mises.org
did.
Based,
yeah, dude. I guess let me ask Undisciplined this question, because I know he's listening to this. Undisciplined, I would like to understand if you think... most people in general think people in the past were dumb compared to us now, or are dumb compared to us now. I know smart people don't think that, but I'd be curious to think if most people think that, and what Undisciplined thinks about that. Do you think Copernicus was dumb? Do you think that, yeah?
No.
Okay. Jenna, or Plepo, do you think?
I don't think he was dumb, but I'm taking your point about probably... Generally, the population today would think that generally the population of old was less intelligent.
Do you think Copernicus would have been...
No, I'll say less learned.
Do you think he would have been the equivalent of some of these smart scientists or astrologists or...
Probably.
Now?
Sure. But astrologists, I'm not sure why you say that.
What is it called? Gaxiologist or... What's it called?
Big
astronomer.
There you go. Okay.
I know, yeah. I said astrologer.
I feel like we could all benefit from spending more time looking at the sky today.
Cool.
For real.
That's your last one, right, Keon?
I think so. Yeah, I had two.
I didn't have any this week, but let's jump into this one. I want to talk about this one. So Lex Friedman had on Open Claw Guy.
I watched my agent have.
Whoa. One of the coolest things he said, and I know you didn't watch this, Ken, because you said you didn't watch it yesterday, unless you watched it recently.
What's his favorite ice cream flavor, Carr?
He said that he's going to keep it open source, but he's either joining Meta or OpenAI. He says it right here. What do you think about that, Keon? Would you rather see him go to OpenAI or Meta?
I don't give a crap. Is what I say.
Frankly, I don't give a hoot.
Yeah.
He said he's going to leave it open source, OpenClaw, and he's going to do a Chromium Chrome kind of thing. But, yeah, there's a lot. This is a really good one. Wumble posted this. I saw it when it came out that evening. I was watching it. I was like, it's good stuff. I don't know. He's a really fascinating guy. The more you hear him talk about, the way he thinks through problems and where he sees a lot of this going, I think that's what I find to be the most interesting.
I believe
thing about
that.
Him.
I mean, I think that's probably true.
It's a different take. It's a way different take than what we're hearing all the time from some of these big AI company leaders.
Yeah. He's clearly a very skilled observer of what's going on without having a vested interest yet in any of the
players. He even brings up the Tailwind thing that we brought up like a month ago where we were saying that it's just Ouroboros. So, anyways.
Nice.
So.
And he's got a GitHub shirt on. That's pretty cool looking.
Did you watch this? I know you're a big fan of Lex Fridman. Did you watch this?
No, the last time I watched anything Lex Fridman was when he had DHH. And it's been a while.
I think you're a DHH.
I think it's worth checking
fan?
Out.
That made me a fan.
Yeah, it's pretty base.
See, even Real Bitcoin Doggy, y'all's favorite stacker, is he says I'm halfway through and love it. The battle to change the name crypto or referral. Yeah, that was another thing he mentioned that. Said that crypto people are annoying him and being mean to him and trying to scam him, and then Lex actually defends it and says, somewhat he says, yeah, not all of them are like that. I think in Lex's way of saying it, because it is a really interesting technology, but it's too bad we get dumped in with the crypto people as Bitcoiners, and we're seeing it again because this guy, he only knew about Lightning.
Oh, well, that's far.
He knows about Lightning?
No, I said if he only knew about Lightning.
Oh, damn. I want to make a comment on Real Bitcoin Dog's comment.
Okay.
I would have thought he would have said crypto a rough R-U-F-F world.
Woo, doggy.
I know, he should, like, train Thank his you. Keyboards Woo, to doggy. Autocorrect
It should
him.
Be rough. Why aren't you doing that, Real Bitcoin Dog? You should be rough. Everything should be syntax accurate with the dog, the dog name. That's what I say.
He says he's real, so like, you know.
And
I'm
real. The next one I wanted to bring up was this one. So this one got shared this week from Elizabeth Stark. She said, the agents are here and they want to transact. Powering the AI economy. It was all over Twitter and other places. Did you see this announcement, Keon?
I saw it. I didn't read it. I don't believe them. I think they're wrong. I think I don't see any reason why bots would suddenly use Bitcoin where humans don't. I do think that bots will have an easier time using Bitcoin than a human would, but I just don't see any reason why that would fundamentally change anything. You know, the argument is, well, they don't need a bank account. And it's like, well, there's a million shit coins that don't need a bank account either. And we have all these stable coins, which are now probably doing more volume in a day than Bitcoin maybe does in a month. I think it's dystopia.
So let me and this is me like trying to be, you know, a little bit more journalistic here, just because I want to ask you this question more so just because of curiosity. But you run Stacker News that is powered by Lightning.
Uh-huh. I believe
in Lightning. And there's bots on there. So why would you not think thing would take place on the internet?
Those are other people who kind of get Bitcoin and understand Bitcoin. I don't see any reason why a bot would be like, oh, this is the right one. This is the right. I understand monetary theory and I understand economics and I understand human behavior. I'm going to use the better money. I'm going to spend that money. I think they're going to do the average, which is, and the average is use fiat, use the convenient fiat for bots, which is this digitized dollar.
So I don't think your framing is wrong. I would say it's probably a little bit more like on the nose than kind of what this is meant to be, because this is meant to kind of spur, you know, creativity and like more hacking and more building. Oh, that's kind of what this post feels like from what they posted here. I don't know we've had to talk about this. I just literally think it's not even going to be the last mile. It's going to be literally the front door where you're going to be asked, what do you want? Like dollars, shit coins, Bitcoin. Like, I think you're right on the hypothesis of like You're going to use the fiat money. But I think that last on that door, it's you're going to be asked, like, what do you want?
Well, everyone wants Bitcoin, as far as, and everyone wants to spend.
I don't think everybody wants Bitcoin. That's what I'm saying. You'll see that happen. Because if somebody's sending me over stuff, shit coins, I'm not going to want that. But I would imagine there's going to be some sort of bot, or your bot's going to know to swap it for Bitcoin by hitting an exchange or something. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think they'll do exactly what humans do, and if they understand. Even if they understand Bitcoin and its value, they will likely use fiat because people will want to give them fiat, and then they'll convert it as fast as they possibly can into Bitcoin. I know Lightning Labs has been working on Taproot Assets, which is going to get stable coins on it at some point. And so perhaps this is part of the equation for them. But I think we already have probably more usage of Coinbase's version of the 402, the HTTP 402, than we do of the Lightning version. Maybe that'll change, but I'm mostly just trying to enjoy. I just see a lot of like unhinged, hopeful takes about Bitcoin finally succeed. Now it's going to succeed. It didn't succeed with humans. Okay, we all admit that we've been bearish for 2 years about that. But bots, it changes the game. I just don't. I think people are just playing themselves a little bit.
I know someone who would agree with you.
So what do you think, Blood Poet?
I know someone who would agree with Keon. That's what I think.
Okay. So I think the other one was really interesting is Matt Corallo tweeted out today, it's time for Bitcoiners to step up and build. You don't need to know anything about software development anymore. You just need to know how to write words. We have a golden opportunity to build out agentic payments based on open money rather than letting agentic payments be... Oh, man, let me see if I can view this or they block me. Oh, no, it's there. Rather than letting agentic payments be captured by megacorps yet again. But we're squandering it, arguing about useless crap instead of building. Play with OpenClaw. Give it a Bitcoin wallet. Money Dev Kit makes this super easy. Also, Lex and Phoenix XD... Make it do things. If it fails to do what you want, go fix it. Have your agent build the Bitcoin domain reseller, that Bitcoin airline ticket reseller, or whatever it is you want. Bitcoin doesn't just happen. It's built. Join in. What do you think about that, Keon?
I think it's great. I think people should be building whatever they want with Bitcoin. I like Bitcoin a lot. I wish more people used Bitcoin. I wish people built more Bitcoin things. I think it's, you know, and it, I think he's right. Like, you know, someone might come out with the idea that actually changes the dynamics of this, that really switches over.
I'm a little resistant to this idea. I would just add one thing, which is like, I would love for some, like, anyone can have the idea, and then that person partners with another person to just build it.
Don't do it alone, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do it alone if you actually don't read code, like, and you actually have no idea.
Oh, I say. So you're saying learn to code.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
I don't want to use an app that by somebody that doesn't know what it is in and out.
Yeah. No one can kind of.
Wow. You guys are so bearish on this. Wow. I guess I'm just really hopeful for the future.
I'm bullish on Bitcoin. I'm just like not. I'm kind of, I think the waves of hope that are like unrelated to Bitcoin itself improving or something really changing on Bitcoin, I'm kind of over it. I just think people are.
Wait till you get your OpenClaw installed this weekend, you'll see. And this time next week, Keon's going to be a different man. We'll see. Or not, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
I mean, for me, I told you this, like, I haven't had this much enjoyment using a computer and the internet at the same time. Gosh, it's been like decades. Like in the early, like this reminds me of like using the internet first time or seeing the iPhone for the first time. This is that kind of moment for me personally. And that's why I'm like, I think a lot of people are having that same kind. I haven't had this much fun with the internet and my computer in a really long time.
So I'm not,
other than just doing work stuff, and
I'm not bearish on AI or any of that. I'm mostly People realize that there's a huge wave of interest in AI, and they're trying to be like, oh, this is Bitcoin's going to catch this wave. It's perhaps missing all these other ones, but it's going to catch this one for some reason. That's what I'm opposed to. I agree that AI has gotten really good, and it's gotten OpenClaw has made it extra accessible by making a lot of great decisions around UX, and that's awesome.
Yep. Okay. Well, the next one we have is Blippo. It's Zine this week. It's a little bit of this, but a lot of bots. What's this one about? Sad Barter. Oh, wow, cool.
Tell me what you think about that. Well, I this.
Say that again. I can't hear you. I have my headphones on.
This is it. Here it is.
Oh, okay.
I made another zine, and people sent me their classifieds. That's what you're looking at right there.
On the left side or the...
On the left side, correct. And then, I put the stories in there, that a few of them we've already mentioned. And I had a good time.
Yeah, I like the design for this one.
Thanks.
This one feels really cool. Did you do all these hand by hand?
I did.
Wow. How are you doing it where you're getting the transparency on the design like that, if I can ask?
So I'm using Canva.
Oh, then you just...
A background remover. Smart. That's it. That's literally it.
I love this. It's great. This is really cool.
Yeah, I drew these little doodles, and I think that is a strength of the zine, and I'm not always on top of it with my doodles, but I think this time it came together.
This one really sings.
Strong doodle.
Yeah, because you even have it to where you're talking about the name of it was, what's the name of this one again? I just saw it a while ago.
A lot of bots.
A little bit of this, a lot of bots, yeah.
Yeah, that was referencing like the stories that are inside are like, yeah, pretty, what we've already been talking about, of course.
Oh, that's cool. Look at that star.
Yeah. Do you think that would make, I thought that was, so I was sitting and watching a podcast while I was doodling. And I was watching a podcast where Bobby Lee was featured.
And is Bobby Lee again?
He's a comedian, and he had that as a tattoo on his wrist.
Oh, cool.
So I copied it.
Interesting.
Bobby Lee had what on his wrist?
That star.
Is that how you picture Stacker News, like that, with that guy right there? Like, with the hat, cowboy?
Well, I thought this was funny because this post is about, like, are you making money off of AI? And I just, like, imagine, like, a guy out there being like, oh, how do I start growing the corn through the computer?
I mean, that's how it was at TabConf. It was, like, Boo, Keon. Who else had a hat? There's, like, two or three.
Oh, right. Those hats are nice.
It was exactly a hat like that.
Yeah.
Everybody was walking around with those hats.
Yeah, right.
Or not everybody, those two.
Right,
definitely
right,
had
right.
That kind of vibe to it. Interesting. What was the top meme this week? Okay. I still don't know what movie that comes out from.
I actually don't either. Do you know the movie that comes from?
Oh.
Cool stuff. Well, I don't want to give it all away, but go check out the zine. Can they get a 3-month subscription? What are they?
Yeah, the subscription is still offered, but you'd have to dig around for it. But I'll make that available elsewhere.
There you go. Showing you how she does it every week. On snacker.news. Nice. Did you vibe code this part right here?
No.
Did you get your Clawbot to do it?
What are you talking about? Of course not.
Cool. Cool stuff. Awesome. Keon, what do you think about this one, Keon?
I think it's great. I like the doodles. I'm a big doodle fan.
It looks like we got a new comment that I haven't seen yet. What's it say?
Zap Barter, there you go.
Exactly.
There you go. Cool stuff. I think that's everything we got here. We're going to jump into some meta. Keon, what's this? Fill us in on what's going on with sets, filters galore.
Yeah. I forget what motivated this exactly. Oh, right. We reintroduced freebies. So new stackers who don't have sats on Lightning, they can post comments for free. As part of that, we wanted to introduce a mechanism where people could opt out of seeing the free comments if they wanted, and that's what these sat filters are aimed at doing. And then they also improve the quality of the hot and top pages on territories so that the territory founder has a little more control over like what the gate is for getting onto the hot page. If they want only really good content on their hot page or really good content on their top page, they can set the filter higher. And then people can set them, you know, to low to basically turn them off, and they want to see everything. They want to see the free stuff. They want to see the down zap stuff. That's the basic idea, is just like more control over the content you see based on the sat spend, the proxy for proof of work.
Yep.
That's kind of it. And I think as part of some of these changes, I upset a lot of people with some of the ranking changes, and because some people started doing some
weird... Oh, wow, they got downset.
And this weekend, I'm planning to release another change to ranking that will probably aggravate even more people. So, you know, tune in for that.
Yeah. Cool stuff. We're going to jump into the top Cowboys. Let me go there. Switch hats. Let's do it. Well, let's do it. The most popular segment in Bitcoin is, you guessed it, every week we do this.
Uh-oh. That's right. Yeah, you got to get Cowboys. Your drink so you can really...
Top Cowboys.
Oh, are you souring on the segment? I mean, Ben can Sessions is waiting. He's been asking me if he can...
He's not waiting.
He can start hosting the
he's
segment.
He's not waiting. He's like...
Why he's these? Like in my DMs. He's like, Eon, please let me.
He's
let me
literally on Stacker News, and he's not asking it. He doesn't even know we exist.
He's trying to get a go behind your back.
Let's just be honest. He doesn't know we exist, Eon.
Why are you being so?
Because this segment is.
Why are you lying about the segment?
Is
you
not
know
as great.
You know the crowd here that comes just for the segment. They only come.
Yeah, all the clawers upstairs are coming downstairs right now.
Yeah, they're hurt. You can hear them. They're clank. They're like their shells.
All right, so number two, we got Coop. Number three, we got Discipline. For the same people every week. I mean, the same people every week. Number nine, Hulk Enemies, 117. It's just the same people every week.
I preferred this when we pretended this was an awesome segment. It was a lot more fun.
You gotta change it up. Sometimes you got to change it up. Anyways, Pueblo, what do you think about this segment?
Well, I am going to agree with you guys' sentiment right now. And I'm going to suggest a new segment.
Oh, we used to do top comments, and then those got uninitiated.
Well, the problem is I'm the only one that reads, and so giving me more content to read is kind of a challenge.
Hey, I didn't have time. I usually have time. I didn't have time today.
My suggestion includes my own personal contribution.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it wouldn't right add there. Anything
you're,
more
you're
for
36.
You guys.
You're going to come up with your own segment?
I have a suggestion for this segment, yes.
Oh, okay, you do? Well, I didn't hear any of that. What is it?
I will read a line of poetry.
Wait, so you're trying to come up with segments that are worse than this one.
Okay. So from now on, going to top poetry of the week.
Wait, your own? If it's your own poetry.
No, not my own. Okay. But I have one. I have one today that I'd like to share.
Okay,
go for it. Let's change up this segment a little bit.
This comes from...
All right, we'll rotate it out.
This comes from my favorite poem, which is called The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock.
That's, yeah.
And it's applicable to what we've been talking about. And he says, I should have been a pair of ragged claws scuttling across the floors of silent seas.
Wait, say that slower again.
I said it real slow, and I just want you to take it in and think about it.
I need to hear it again.
Your subconscious heard it, dude. It's in there.
Something about clawing through the street. That's all
I heard. It's working its way in there.
It's working its way. Yeah. It'll settle.
Touch you.
No, I got to hear it again. All right, well, that was Top Cowboys this week. Tune in next week for...
Some other segment. Wumbo segment.
We should just do Wumbles. Should just do Wumbles picks twice. That's what I'm saying. All right, we're gonna go into
Wumbo's second pick. Yeah, that'll be a
I'm so lost. Where am I going?
Wumbo's pick, and it's a picture of Wumbo.
Whoa, doxed.
Wumbo's dick.
Whoa. Calm down, y'all. Calm down. This is a PG-13 show,
dude. We'll just do age verification.
We got to calm down. This is why people subscribe. Or unsubscribe. This is why you should unsubscribe.
Yes, go and check and make sure you're
unsubscribed, please.
Yes.
It's not safe
I am subscribed.
Okay, so we got these two comments. I'm just going to start calling this a Graphene OS segment because every week we get new comments about this Graphene OS video that people just keep on
is
watching.
Right?
It's like 2 years old at this point, and they just keep watching it.
Well, because we fucked this up so bad. We were so wrong about what Graphene was doing.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think.
So we made a bad video one time where we didn't prep.
That's how it goes.
No, but the weird
you
thing
got
is
Clippy in your comments coming for you.
The title is right, and it suggests the right thing, but everything we say is wrong in the video. And so it's
I haven't watched.
We made the right video.
I don't watch this. I mean, I just do them live, and that's it.
Yeah.
The only time I watched it was when it was the DVD, and then I had to edit it after Wumbo edited it. But it was just a lot of me saying, damn, I was right the whole time. But in this one, I think we're all
wrong. Wait, you were saying that in reaction, or you were...
I was saying, when I was doing the editing for the DVD, I was like, damn, we were right.
Were you...
But now, when I don't watch it for this stuff, though. Anyways, the first one was, Goss is a Band-Aid fix for your major problem? Everyone complains about Google's control, yet continue using an OS ecosystem that Google still has control over. It's baffling how devs would rather spend time undoing Google's nonsense than building an ecosystem where they don't have to. More effort goes into forking a sinking ship instead of building a new ship altogether. Keanu, what do you think about that?
I think he's got a point. I think hardware will get easier to build, and people will make it, and it'll be
a significant
differentiator in a way that, the software is now. I think it'll become pretty easy, and people will stop using products on the basis of the software, and I think a lot more people will make their own hardware. So I think, he might be kind of saying that from a position of thinking about the future, but I think as it stands right now, it's a lot easier to target Google's device and work against them a little bit than it is to
build
produce your own phone. Yeah. But they are producing their own phone. They're working with a manufacturer who already knows how to do it.
4 days ago, the same video.
You see that? Another. One of them is Clippy, though. See the icon?
We're going to get to that. 4 days ago, the same video, another comment. He does not get it, does he? ? Relationship with Pixel is over, period.
Doesn't get it?
I wonder who he's talking about.
Could be anyone.
Probably me. I don't get it. And I don't understand why you keep commenting on this stupid video. BF9870.
But we appreciate you.
We don't, because we didn't hard at Coop. All right.
I didn't even see
the third comment on 4 days ago. Clippy, also known as Kari Magic, came on and said, Mafia also does Mafia stuff in tech. What is that called?
Greater than
rich people are death since forever. Whoa. What does that even mean? That's like a Gen Z take.
I don't know what that means at all. Rich people are death.
I don't understand that.
That's
Car Matchy.
A big thing to say.
Ken Matchy.
It's like a communist. He's like pro-mafia communist.
We need somebody. I need to get my claw out to understand. Tell me what that is.
Clippy is probably communist.
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
He's not around anymore, so that'll tell you.
Now let's get into the base comments. Let's get into the base comments, which are our fountain comments. And we got Blockchain Boost says, waiting for Cinnamon to go public. I need some shares.
Cinnamon.
Oh, man. Blockchain Boog, you really set me up for that one. Great chat with John Zapp. There you go. That's a Blockchain Boog.
Mm. I didn't realize. Boog is.
He has a stocks territory, if I remember correctly. All right, that's all we got. That's all the stuff this week. Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
Oh man, I'm gonna do a whole bunch of things. I think I'm gonna set up possibly my open claw.
No.
Thing. I'm gonna set it up so I can be like all the other grown men in here and have a Silicon child. And Silicon
when you say it like that, it sounds really
a Silicon pathetic. Family. I'm going to have a Silicon family, and no one can stop me. I'm going to do that. I don't know what else I'm going to do. I don't think I have any other plans. I should probably do something else with myself and my life in general, but instead I'm probably going to be in my office. I'll be shipping some code this weekend, late at night.
And chewing some gum.
I'm always chewing gum. Never stop. I wish I could chew it in my sleep. I probably would. How about you? What are you guys doing?
What are you doing this weekend?
Maybe I'll just deny telling you that and instead tell you something else. I would like to suggest another new segment where I reveal the drawing I created while we were on the pod live. Because, you know, this is like a feature of some live shows. They have an artist out to the side.
Oh, yeah. Come show us. Painting. Yeah.
Oh, it's like a court. Like a court.
Okay, if you'll show that to the screen.
Court artist.
This is what she made.
This is a picture of Carr.
Yeah, because he sold his soul.
Thousands of pounds. I'm just kidding.
To what? I didn't sell my soul. To what?
Well, you might. You can't really see it very well.
I can't
huh?
see. It looks like a some sort
it's
of
a
like
snake.
Dog.
It's like a dog snake. Or something.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Oh, it's an orange one. Interesting.
All right, so that's what I'm going to do.
Where'd
this
you get
weekend.
The colors from?
I brought them.
Oh,
they're right here.
Wow. I didn't know we...
Twistables.
Oh, wow. That's a thing.
Conceal and carry, dude.
Cool. Let's end this. I got a lot of work to do. And see you next time, Stackers.
Zap.